Hello and welcome to World Radio, a production of HCJB World Radio, Melbourne, Australia. Now here's your host, Eric Scatterbo.
Thank you, Derek, and welcome once again to World Radio, where today we talk about probably our most controversial issue ever, and that is the topic of homosexuality. What triggers it, and how can one recover from same-sex attraction? And we just want to warn parents that we will be talking frankly about this topic, and so you might want to have your children in another room while you listen to today's program. Once again, our topic is homosexuality. That's the music of Edmund Smith. He was once a practicing homosexual, and now he and his wife are the founders of Real Love Ministry, or otherwise known as RLM for short. RLM ministers to the homosexual community in Malaysia and helps people resolve issues which triggered the homosexuality in the first place. He also helps lead them in what they term the four seasons of recovery. We'll find out more as we talk with Edmund Smith about his life and his ministry.
Let me start by just saying that I'm mixed, okay? As in parentage, my dad is white and my mom is Malaysian. And so I'm a minority in my country, and that itself makes me different. And I grew up in a very strange and confused environment because my parents wanted me to be something that I was not born to be. I come from a family with three big brothers who were there before me. And then when I was born, my parents truly believe and expect me to be a girl. And I was rejected as a little boy by both my parents. And what happened was, throughout my whole life, my father actually rejected me. And my mother, on the other hand, first rejected me and then later accepted me, but brought me up as a girl the first 5 years of my life. I believe that the two things that happened between me and my parents, both my father and mother, has caused a lot of confusion in me. It affected my sexual orientation, my sexual lifestyle, and I would say that those two things are like the main triggers, but there are like many other contributors as well that has actually caused me to end up being a homosexual. So I lived a homosexual lifestyle for like 11 years, from the time I was 13 years old up to 24. It's very hard being a homosexual in my country, Malaysia. I believe it's also not easy to be a homosexual in other parts of the world, but specifically because we live in a Muslim country, so homosexuality is it's a crime, actually. Mm-hmm. So I struggled as a homosexual for a long time. 11 years is a long time. And I lived a typical homosexual lifestyle. And I would not like to list the details because it's very embarrassing. And I'm not proud of what I've done. But I would say that in 1994, I broke up with my third and final lover. And that to me, that triggered the desire to come out of that lifestyle, to want something more for myself. I knew there's something else. But at that time, in 1994, I was not even aware of such a thing as the ex-gay lifestyle. I'd never heard of the ex-gay lifestyle. I'd never seen an ex-gay. And I was still living in Malaysia at that time. But deep in my heart, and I knew I wanted something more. I was sick and tired of being in such a lifestyle for 11 years. It's like my whole life. I decided to move out of that lifestyle at the end of 1994, and that's where my journey as an ex-homosexual began, without anyone knowing. Basically, I was struggling alone, and strangely, it all happened while I was still not born again, meaning I wasn't having a personal relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was a Catholic, and I'm not saying that all Catholics are not born again, but I was not born again, and but I believe God was there from the very beginning, and He was guiding me, He was leading me. And today I look at it as a blessing coming out. And eventually I had fantastic people around me during that time, particularly Christians, because I was involved in the Salvation Army, which eventually became my church. The Salvation Army is, most people know of it as a community service organization, but nevertheless, it's actually a church as well. So I was actually working as a community worker at the Salvation Army during this time, even as a homosexual, and no one knew I was a homosexual. And when I broke up, and I shared my sadness with one or two good friends, and they actually reached out to me, and that led me to actually accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord, my personal Lord and Savior. So I today, as I think back, I realize that after coming out of the homosexual lifestyle, it actually, I had so much time to do any other things in life, because as a homosexual, we are so engrossed in wanting to be happy with our partner, wanting to be as normal as the other heterosexual couples that we look around us, wanting to live happy ever after. And I realized that having that desire of wanting to be a happy person as a homosexual has taken all of my life, all of my time. I didn't have time for God, basically. But after being set free from coming out of that lifestyle, I actually gave myself a chance to trust Jesus. And that's where I became born again, soon, very soon after coming out of the homosexual lifestyle. And it actually is like the same time when my ex-gay lifestyle started. It's the same time I began to fall in love with Jesus. And I realize now that God was there from the very beginning, and He's still with me. And having God in my life makes a whole lot of difference as an ex-homosexual. And I'm still moving on, and I believe that I'm going to move on for the rest of my life in this ex-gay lifestyle. This year I celebrate my 11th year of living as an ex-homosexual.
Do you know you have to live forever? Do you know you can be free?
And now, Edmund, after you became a Christian, became born again, did your desires for people from the same sex cease at that point, or did you have to go through a process?
I had to go through a process, actually. I would say I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself and for the many people that I've worked with. Having Christ is great. Having God is so vital. But nevertheless, God does send people to our lives to help us in our journey. So people were used by God in many ways to befriend me, to reach out to me, to teach me and pray for me, and all that is a very, very important part in my recovery. So I would say, I would give God the credit for all those things, those people that God has sent to my life. And those are the stuff that actually helped me decrease in my desire for people of the same gender in the area of sex and romance. So what I'm trying to say is that just believing in God does not help. If I know of people who just believe in God and they refuse to go into any recovery program, and it does not work. They do not end up being successful ex-homosexuals. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you had to go through a journey. And let's talk about your journey to recovery away from the homosexual lifestyle. What was the process? Take us through that.
Okay. Today, I'm running RLM, Real Love Ministry, a ministry that's reaching out to people like me, people who desire to come out of the homosexual lifestyle. And basically, I am helping them use the journey that I myself have experienced as an ex-homosexual. And what I went through is so real and so powerful and so effective. And RLM, Real Love Ministry, got started in 1999, and I've worked with many people, and many people have used this journey that we call the Seasons of Recovery, and it has been effective for many. So the journey is this. We go through four phases. Okay, we call this the journey of recovery. The first season, we call it the educational season, which is a season of creating an awareness within us, truly realizing the harms of homosexuality and the beauty of heterosexuality, which as a homosexual, we are like totally not interested to know. But when we begin our journey, we have to sit down and actually learn all this, the importance of the truth that one sexual orientation is It's not something that we are born with. And it's developed. I realize that, and people who want to enter into the recovery journey, they need to realize that if one chooses to believe that he or she is born with a homosexual orientation, for example, then journey can't even start. So the educational field is very much important. And in my ministry, in RLM, we encourage people to be in that season for 1 year, just learning the stuff and ultimately resolving an issue that, a human issue, and an issue that a lot of homosexuals struggle with, not all, but many, which is called the self issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the first season. The self issue is this. The self issue is basically anything about yourself that you reject. It could be your race, your ethnic group, your height, or anything. But out of all these many self issues, two types of self issues can lead to homosexuality, and that is a self issue towards your gender or your looks, meaning an inferiority complex towards your gender, not being proud of being a man or a woman, feeling inadequate in your own gender, feeling that you are less than a man than other men, or you're less than a woman than other women, or you're not man enough, you're not woman enough. That's a self issue towards your gender. And having a self issue towards your looks means you feel that other people of the same gender is better looking than you. You are inferior to them. They are more admirable. They are more attractive. So that's a self-issue towards your gender and a self-issue towards your looks.
So getting back to your life personally, you had a bit of a self-identity problem with how you were brought up. Is that correct?
I had a severe self-issue towards my gender. Particularly, it was caused by my relationship with my father. My father had three sons before me, and then when I was born, he was like, believed that I'm going to be a girl. This time it's going to be a girl. And when I was born, and I happened to be a boy, and he rejected me, and I felt that the reason my father rejected me because I'm a boy, because I heard that sort of conversation going on, and I've seen my father actually embrace my female cousins, and after me came my sister. As I was growing up, I watched my sister being loved, my female cousins, even my female neighbors. My father would like hug them and lift them up in the air, and I would desire to be hugged by my father, and I felt that if only I was a girl. So I had a gender confusion. I felt that being a boy is a curse. I felt that it's a mistake. I totally rejected myself as a boy. I remember, up to today, I remember there were times when I was older as a teenager, I would pray, you know, even as a Catholic, I would pray to God and say, I wish that I would wake up being a girl the next day, and I don't want to be a boy. And on the other hand, my mom also added to my gender confusion because, as I said earlier, she treated me as a girl the first 5 years of my life, so I was confused. I believed I was a girl. I played with tea sets and dolls. I can't even remember. I never had experience of playing with guns or being a soldier.
So gender confusion obviously was a large part of your childhood. But it sounds like from what you're saying that parents play a large role in their children's self-identity, whether they like themselves.
Very much. It is very important on what the parents should say and not say and do and not do. If your parents lead you lead a boy into feeling like a girl, he will definitely feel like a girl. It's a total gender confusion, and that is not homosexuality. That's a gender confusion. But that can lead, or I would say a high possibility of leading someone into homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we were talking about the seasons of recovery. The first season, as you mentioned, is the educational season, learning about what triggers homosexuality.
Yes.
Anything more you'd like to say about that, or should we go on to the next issue?
Just one more thing. So if a person truly wants the journey in a recovery, they have to go from one season to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not advisable to skip from one season, let's say, finished of the first season, the educational season, and jump to the third season. So we call it graduate. We use the word graduate because we want people to be serious about each season.
Mm-hmm.
And to move on from the first season, one has to make sure he or she has overcome his or her self-issue towards his or her gender and looks. And not only that, at the end of that first season, the person, the recovering homosexual, must make a decision to seriously enter into the ex-gay lifestyle only at the end of the president, then only after the person makes a decision, yes, I want to be an ex-gay, I want to enter into this new lifestyle, then only we call him or her an ex-gay. Then he enters the second season.
Okay.
And that decision has to be made by the individual himself.
And the second season is?
The second season is called the celibate season.
Okay.
The reason is, in this season, it is very important for the individual to actually put aside all romantic relationships, all sexual and romantic relationships, because the focus on this season, in this season, is actually on same gender issues. It's vital to deal with issues pertaining same gender, people of the same gender, before you can even look into the opposite gender, where that will come in the next season, that's the third season. So in this season, we deal with the issue that we call the vacuum issue. And the vacuum issue is just simply this. If a boy grows up without having any male authoritative figure, particularly dad, you know, not having him as a role model, not having him being there for him, loving him, not just physically there, but emotionally there, caring for him. And the boy, and this little boy will develop a vacuum issue, an emptiness, a great need of to be loved by people of the same gender, because the father of a child represents the same gender. So it's like, I would say that just as God has given us a father and a mother, and he knows that it is every child's right to receive love from both gender parents, and particularly in Asia. In Asia, a lot of fathers actually says that it is mother's role to love and care and embrace and touch the little children as we are growing up. His father's role is just to work and bring food on the table, put the food on the table, and that is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of Asians actually have this idea of what fatherhood is all about. A lot of Asians. And I thank God that things are changing slowly and surely. Mm. And that's why a lot of Asian men suffer with this vacuum issue.
Now, if I'm understanding you correctly, this vacuum issue, if the male child is not receiving the love from the father, from the same sex, there'll be an emptiness, and that craving, that desire for love from the same sex parent will then manifest itself in attraction to the same sex? Is that what you're saying? Is it that vacuum needs to be filled somehow?
Correct. It's like, it begins with just wanting to be loved by people of the same gender. It all begins with an innocent desire to be loved by people of the same gender. And then, you know, the desire will lead to attraction if it's not dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, same thing, if a girl grows up with the absence of mother, it happens to the girl as well. But the fact is, among the people that I work with, there are more male homosexuals who struggle with a vacuum issue compared to female homosexuals. So what happens in the second season is that we teach our clients we call them members. Okay, members are people who are in the journey of recovery in RLM. We teach our members to actually share something that we call DPR. DPR stands for Deep Platonic Relationships, and we always look at the relationship shared between Jonathan and David in the Old Testament, the book of Samuel, and then even Jesus with his disciples, particularly Peter, James, and John, and how close they are, and the healthy intimacy that they share. And it is possible for two men to love each other deeply, or two women to love each other deeply without being homosexual.
Now, getting back to the vacuum issue in general, you mentioned that sometimes there's an absence of love from the father, in the case of a male child.
Yeah.
But then also sometimes we see what's commonly known as the mother's boy syndrome, where there's an unhealthy, close relationship between the male child and the mother. What is happening there?
You see, when the father is missing in the picture, that is damaging already. So what happens in a lot of cases when father is absent, whether it's emotionally or even physically absent, mother tend to get too attached to the boy. Okay, this can be unhealthy. And this actually can lead to an issue that we deal in the third season that we call the barrier issue. Okay, a barrier issue is this. A barrier issue is something that is within the individual's life that actually blocks that individual from entering into a romantic or sexual relationship with someone of the opposite gender. So what happens if with the scenario that you have just given? You know, if a boy has no father, no male authoritative figure, if there's no father, there should be an uncle or grandfather or big brother, that will do. But if a boy totally does not have a male authoritative figure in his life, and only mother, that only mother being too attached, being extremely attached, what happens is the boy begins to feel that he is one of the same gender as the mother. He's part of this female community. He's one with them. He doesn't feel like he's the opposite gender. And this can actually lead the boy to actually eventually, as he grows up, looking at the female folk as part of his gender. And he finds it, he'll find it difficult to actually look at them as romantic partners or even sexual partners. That is not a good thing. And for your information, that is my case as well. I grew up being very attached to my mom and to my sister and to my female cousin. So I begin to feel that I'm part of this female community, and I can't think of this the female gender as my romantic partner or my sexual partner. I look at them as my sisters, as my mother. That's all. And that is a barrier.
We're talking with Edmund Smith. He is the founder of Real Love Ministry, a ministry that helps homosexuals confront trigger issues, issues that trigger homosexuality, and helps them to recover. We're talking about the seasons of recovery. Season one was the educational season. Second season was the celibate season, where deep platonic relationships are developed. And then getting to season number three, it's the dating season. Can you share with us about that?
Okay. Before we move on to the dating season, I got to say that just a little bit on how one is actually prepared to move on to the dating season from the celibate season.
Mm-hmm.
If he or she is able to have a string of successful DPRs, okay, that means having deep relationships of the same gender, and yet they are not turning into sexual and romantic relationship, that's a clear sign he's ready to move on. Because in the life of a homosexual, all of our, I would say nearly all of our intimate, really, our closest relationships are all sexual and romantic. So if we can actually enjoy and maintain a string of successful DPR, that's a clear sign. My vacuum is being filled and it's time for me to move on. Then they can move on to the third season that is called the dating season. The dating season is basically a season that deals with issues pertaining to the opposite gender. And dating in this season is actually a therapeutic activity. And it's a must. If a person truly wants to resolve his or her barrier issues, there are many homosexuals who actually experience the barrier issue through bad experiences. And particularly a lot of female homosexuals I know experience abuse by people of the opposite gender. Verbal abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse, and by people of the opposite gender. And it could happen while the person is young. People can develop a barrier issue as a teenager or even as a young adult. If a young woman were to be raped by men and abused, she could actually, at being 20-something, and yet she can still develop a barrier issue. And a barrier issue, if not dealt with, can lead to homosexuality, because a barrier issue cuts a person off the opposite gender. Especially if the barrier issue is severe, an individual can even look at the opposite gender as monsters. Yeah.
So the barrier issue is dealt with in the third season, which is the dating season. One of the reasons that you mentioned has happened in their life where the female has a barrier to having a relationship with men because of something that happened earlier in her life, then this dating helps to overcome that barrier issue.
Yes. And what happens is throughout this journey of recovery, season 1, season 2, and season 3, we will assign a befriender, RLM befriender. An RLM befriender is a person, is a volunteer who has been trained by us on how to be a friend to a recovering homosexual. So the member will not go through the recovery on his or her own, but there is a befriender to guide, to teach, and to motivate the recovering homosexual to the right thing. So dating people of the opposite gender is, as I said earlier, is very strange for a homosexual. So the befriender will be there to guide.
My best friend
So if I'm understanding you correctly, a lot of people are saying, hey, the Bible says homosexuality is wrong. If you see somebody who is involved in homosexuality, you need to tell them it's wrong and they should stop. But if I'm understanding you correctly, just telling them to stop is not dealing with the underlying issues that triggered the homosexuality in the first place. And until those are dealt with people's self-identity issues and barrier issues and vacuum issues, until those issues, those underlying issues are dealt with, you still have somebody who's not at a point of being able to have a strong, functional relationship with somebody of the opposite sex.
Correct. It's very much like, you know, you know of a drug abuser. You can't just tell the drug abuser to just quit being a drug abuser. You've got to bring help into his life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to encourage him to receive help. And you've got to show him ways of receiving help. It's the same thing. You can't, and the worst thing, what I know of a lot of people, sorry to say, even Christians, what they tend to do is they try to match up a homosexual with someone of the opposite gender and they say, hey, everything is going to be all right. But that's going to make things worse. Because, as I said earlier, a lot of people enter into marriage without recovery. A lot of homosexuals enter into marriage without recovery. And what happens? They get more messed up. They get more messed up. And being married is not a guarantee that you're an ex-homosexual just because you're married. Some people, especially some straight people, when they see a homosexual, an ex-homosexual married, and say, oh, it's victory, everything is over. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's victory when a person has resolved his issues. That's real victory.
You've been listening to a conversation with Edmund Smith from Real Love Ministry about the fascinating yet controversial topic of homosexuality, what triggers it, and how to lead a person through the process of recovering from homosexuality. I know this topic will generate a lot of questions, so please contact us here at HCJB Australia. Or you can contact Edmund directly through his website. Real Love Ministry's website address is www.r-l-m.com. Once again, that's www.r-l-m.com. Also, if you'd like to obtain Edmund Smith's music that we have featured on today's program, once again, you can contact him through his website. That's www.r-l-m.com. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's edition of World Radio, and I hope it helped you better understand some of the underlying issues regarding homosexuality, and I hope it will help us to be more compassionate. Until next time, I'm Eric Scadabo saying so long and God bless.
You have been listening to World Radio. World Radio is produced in the Melbourne studios of HCJB Australia with program input by HCJB World Radio International offices. We're always interested in your comments and questions. Our email address is english@hcjb.org.au and our mailing address is World Radio, HCJB Australia, GPO Box 691, Melbourne 3001, Australia. Join us next time for another edition of World Radio.